This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and Santa Claus would like to remind you that Paul Dano collects teeth. I couldn't get it out. I was going to try to say in a Santa voice. Okay.
Good surprise.
No, that's good. Hello, boys and girls.
I'm Brandy Posey, and it's weird how many people are kiss asses, considering all the scientific evidence supporting the theory that butts fart.
So true. Mm-hmm. I'm Tess Barker, and put some respect on squirrels. They're basically monkeys.
Hey. And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is a staunchly pro-squirrel space.
Thank you. Extremely
pro-squirrel. I will not stand for any slander of squirrels.
Oh, yes. My God. Did I tell you guys, by the way, about the... I forget if I told you about the animal in my backyard.
No.
The animal? Okay. Just blank
What's
animal?
The animal?
It starts, okay. So, you know, my backyard, there's like that back wall, like behind the patio, basically. And that is essentially like an animal highway, like cats and squirrels bebop around there. And there's one squirrel in particular that we're friends with that the dogs are friends with her. We've had a long history with her. And so, you know, I check her out when I see her. And so I'm like out in the back and I see like a little rustling from like where she usually emerges from. And I'm like, oh, it's squirrel friend. And then the face pops through. I'm like, that's bigger than a squirrel face. And like, this is in slow motion. And I'm like, what? And then I realize it's a fucking coyote.
Oh my God.
Coyote had leaped my, backyard, had scaled the wall. And his coyote face was emerging from the ivy in the corner behind my back wall.
Holy shit. That's
so
terrifying.
Scary. It was so scary.
Whoa. Holy shit.
Was he like a full, or did you see him fully?
I said, get out of here. And then he retreated.
Yikes. Because you have like a fully enclosed backyard too. Like, I mean, I would fully like let
that
Garth
is so
back
creepy.
There without my, you know, what? That's terrifying. Holy
that's terrifying.
Shit.
So now I know that like coyotes can scale that wall. So like we can't leave the dogs back there.
Oh my God. That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so scary.
It was so, like, the way it just happened, it was like, because I'm so used
that
to seeing
would,
the squirrel.
Yeah, like, just kind of, he's like the Homer gif coming out of the.
Yes, it was exactly like that.
Yeah.
Coming out of the leaves. Oh my God, that is so creepy.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Rocked me to my core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
They're
wild.
Out here. They're really, yeah.
They're bold. Much more, they've gotten so much bolder, too.
Oh, I know. This was at, like, 1 p.m., too.
Yeah.
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 That
is nuts. Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing them, you know, they do their little like crazy ass calling to each other. It's every night now. It used to just be like randomly and it's like every night. So
wow.
Yeah. They're in full effect.
Yikes.
Not anti-coyote, just don't want you near my pets.
No, it's just not my backyard. I'm sorry, I am a NIMBY with coyotes.
Yes. I'm anti the development that has pushed them into the neighborhood. I wish that they could live wildly more often. Yeah. Not in my literal backyard.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to shout out a very fun show that I will ask the two people on the show, on the Zoom to do now, if they are in town. But I'm doing 50 First Jokes on December 28th. I don't know if you guys will be here or not, but
I don't know yet. But
okay,
know,
well, anyway,
probably, but yeah.
It's December 28th at Lyric Hyperion at 7:30. We're going to do a big dance party after it this year. Ooh, every year we do the show. 50 comics tell the worst joke that they wrote that year. It's really fun. It's a great community. Just like in, you know, let's embrace our failures together. And yeah, it's a really fun show. I'm co-hosting with Brody Reed, and it'll be great. So December 28th at Lyric Hyperion, you can buy tickets on their website, and it's going to be a good time.
Fuck yeah. That's it. Very exciting. Yeah, yeah, it's always like the best way to like end the year is seeing everybody.
I do love that show. And it's great because it's like, you know, we've all been like doing the holiday thing, and then we get to see our weird comedy family.
Yeah. And this year I'm trying to put together a montage of really bad stand-up to start out the show with. So I'm really excited.
There's a lot to choose from in 2023. Yeah,
I don't think it's going
to
be too hard.
Is it all going to be from this year?
That's the goal. Yeah. Okay. I've wanted to do it in the past. I've never got around to it. So this time, this year, I'm like, okay, I really want to pull this off.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a really fun show.
Hell yeah. That rules.
Should we get into our epi?
Yeah. Let's get into it, man. This was so fun.
This was really fun. This gal's hilarious. She is a stand-up, and she also has a one-person show called Lady ADHD, which she's touring all over the place, and you can see in a city near you. Mm-hmm. Please enjoy our hang with Blair Postman. Let's just do it. We're already having fun with our guests, so let's just fucking hang out with her. Blair Postman, hi, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You are in doing this in front of a brick wall, very comedy. You're very
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It is my actual house. It's not a background. That is I now live in Brandy. You are familiar with this part of the world. I now live in Baltimore, Maryland.
Ooh, red brick, baby. I love it.
In Little Italy. So this is required. You're not allowed to have anything else.
Oh, it's
very East Coast.
I love
you guys. You guys saw. He's just not that into you, right? It's just like that. It's exactly that movie is 100% accurate.
Every time I think about Baltimore, I think about he's just not that into you,
right?
I mean, I will take it. It's better than The Wire. It's better than The Wire. I'm glad we have a new touch point culturally.
I'm a little new to the city, so I might not have that completely right. But
also, I love that that was a book based on a Sex and the City line of dialogue, and then they turned that into a movie. Like, that is...
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, a podcast and a whole...
Yeah. Residual intellectual property is what we're going to be talking about today.
You gotta use all parts of the bullshit is what we've learned.
All part of it. All the reuse it all.
What brought you to Baltimore? Oh, sorry, Tess. I have questions.
What brought me to Baltimore? I lived in and around DC for most of my adult life, and we wanted to own a house before we died.
Yes.
And
Baltimore,
we wanted to be like downtown with stuff. We wanted it to be able to afford one with like a roof and a working HVAC system and stuff. So the way things are in DC, we moved to Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
A little closer to New York too. So it all works out.
I love Baltimore, man. It's fucking fun as hell.
It's fun. It's very punk rock.
What do you think people don't realize about Baltimore? Like what?
It's so friendly. Mm-hmm. It's really friendly. And so I grew up in New Jersey in the suburbs just over the George Washington Bridge. So maybe like all things are relative and like in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. But I've lived in the South. I've lived, in Chicago. I lived in New York, and it's just really friendly. It's very real.
Yeah.
People are very invested in their communities. And there's just an enormous amount of art. There's the food culture here. And I think it's similar to why I bought a house here. Like if you are an independent like restaurateur, chef, et cetera, there's like a chance that you could maybe actually open a place in Baltimore, like afford to do it and make a profit in an area where there's tourism or there's a lot of people living and stuff. And like in DC, everything is, you know, a chain or Jose Andreas, who seems like a wonderful man, but still, you know, it's just, I don't know how anyone could open something independent, like a storefront sort of thing.
Right. It feels like DC just has to be
20 miles of DC.
Yeah. It's like, it has to be a lot of places for you to get the same sandwich every day for lunch or talk about, or, you know, have like sit in like a dark red booth and drink wine while you decide the fate of like a whole county of people.
Yeah. It's very like a hybrid of LA and New York, like the worst qualities of both.
Yes.
You know what? I have often heard the phrase, DC is Hollywood for ugly people.
Yeah.
I think that your put the worst elements of New York and LA is that is very accurate. I'm gonna steal that.
It's fully true. I remember like when I moved out to LA for the first time and everyone was like, oh my God, it's gonna be so different. And I was like, no, this is
This feels like DC. It's a company town.
There's a lot of people
trying to get ahead. There's a lot of star fuckers.
Yep. You can run the circus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a whole thing, a lot of media, but like, you know, different kinds.
We've just got QR codes out here and there's nuclear codes in DC. That's the
right.
And hopefully QR code that connects to the nuclear codes.
Ooh, you never know.
I don't know.
It's stupid. It's a stupid thing and stupid things keep happening. So that
Oh my God. Speaking of stupid things, I have to tell you guys about something very traumatic that happened to me yesterday.
Okay.
Oh no.
And it's stupid. And it's my fault.
Stupid trauma dump.
It's
here we go.
Stupid. So I had a show in Laguna Beach last night and traffic is always like a bitch to get down there. So it was like, you kind of either have to leave like obviously late or like early. Right. So I was like, all right, I'm going to leave in the afternoon. I'm going to get in a stand up paddle before my show. It's going to be great. So I get there. I'm like, I'm just so happy when I see the water. I'm like, this is like, looks like heaven. It's like crystal clear, beautiful water. I can't wait to get in. I go to like pull up and set up my board. And there's a sign that says, danger, raw sewage, do not enter.
Oh.
So I think, well, I mean, you guys know me. Like I get something in my head. I'm doing it, right? So I'm like, okay. So this beach is off the list.
Blair's making some great faces. Tess will not be told.
We should say Tess has run a marathon like in a hurricane. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Nobody's going to tell me I can't swim in raw sewage.
It's a reoccurring theme in my life. So then I drive to like a different beach, like 2 hours north. There's no signage there. And I'm like, okay, no sign. I get in. I have a lovely paddle. It's like truly beautiful. I'm like, oh my God, the water.
It was
like
a beautiful day yesterday.
It was a beautiful day. You could see like 40 feet down. I saw a bunch of fish. It was like so fucking cool.
Wow.
And I'm the only one out there, you know? And I'm like, this is so zen. I'm like, and then I'm also proud of myself because I'm like, wow, you're so independent. Like you're just like out here on the ocean. Like this is so cool. You're so cool. And then I get to my show that night, and the host says that that day, 90 million gallons of raw sewage has leaked into Laguna Beach.
Oh.
And I think, oh, due to the nature of how liquid works, there's no fucking way that driving a mile and a half north saved me from the sewage. And I think, oh, my God. I just marinated, and because I went straight from paddleboarding to my show, I didn't get to shower in between.
And the host says this at the top of the show,
so I then spend the next 2 hours plus an hour car ride home just sitting in ocean sewage. And I mean, my hair, honestly, before I got the news, you know how like your hair looks cute when it's kind of beachy? I was like, I got that beach hair for my set. Well, then I go in the bathroom a second time, and I'm like, look at that shit hair you got. Look at that shit hair.
I mean, no one talks about
the sewage look.
The sewage.
Yeah. Much like salt, like a little bit of diarrhea will just do the same.
Like a smidge.
Oh no. How was your set? Did you talk about it in your set?
I talked about it at the top of my set. And shout out, we had a listener there last night. So if you were there, had to address it. But yeah,
wow.
So far I haven't fallen ill or anything. It's just mostly psychological.
Do you have any superpowers or anything?
Yeah.
I mean,
like, isn't there like a whole, like all the 50
I think she has the superpower
like
that she went stand up paddleboarding out there when no one else.
Right.
That was the superpower.
I'm not seeing a third or fourth eye. I'm not seeing like a boil
Very
or
toxic.
A. Yeah, exactly. You're not growing a third arm.
No,
like,
I doubt you'll get sick. I think it's just you got the ick.
I got the ick. And Sean keeps being like, well, you know, you were wearing a wetsuit. I'm like, yeah, but you still get wet in a wetsuit.
Well, that's good. You got a wetsuit.
I had a wetsuit, but like,
she had a wetsuit. She threw that wetsuit away.
Yeah. It's been burning outside and it's burning. It's green.
That wetsuit.
Something's been smelling really bad out here.
It didn't smell bad though, right? I mean, because if it was that clear, you could see, like, you weren't seeing.
That is true.
You weren't
That's
seeing
what
like
said.
Logs
Sean like,
floating by.
Yeah, Sean was like, well, you didn't see any shit in the water, right? And I was like, yeah. I mean, so he was trying to make me feel better, but like when you're the person that went swimming in poop, like nothing really is gonna make you feel better.
And I mean, like, and you have talked about this in the podcast too, so it's like I understand that this. I could see this being a re-traumatization of being pissed on by a lion back in the day too. Like this is not the first sewage issue.
I only have to say that I somewhat feel a kinship because this was on a bonus episode, but I did take a bath and bugs ended up being in it.
That's true.
And I feel, and I understand how you feel kind of. It's
okay, you understand
feeling.
Like the deep disgust that like
I wouldn't
can't
wish
shake.
It on anyone. Yes, okay. I'm still disturbed
okay,
by
yes,
it.
Exactly. It's exactly that
not,
feeling.
It's awful. It's awful.
Hard to feel clean after.
It's it's not good. It's not good.
One of those Silkwood showers.
Yeah.
Oh. I also, we're saying this yesterday, and I'm really sorry to say this, but I had a cup of water yesterday, something weird in my mouth. There was a spider.
Oh no.
Like,
oh,
did
man.
You spit it out or just swallow it?
I spat it out, okay. But I was like, I couldn't get rid of that all day.
No,
that's
no,
just
no,
a,
no,
that's
no.
Just in your mouth forever.
Well, why are, get away from me. Why are you guys, what's going on? I thought we had a deal.
I didn't drink sodas out of cans for like a decade because one time I was like at like a church bazaar thing when I was a kid growing up and like a wasp got into my soda can and I drank it and I bit it in half and spit it out. And then I like literally, I like wouldn't drink a soda out of a can for like a decade because of it.
Oh my.
I still keep it topped. Like whenever I have one, I'm like, I don't trust it out of my sight.
You have to check. I am old enough that like just the suggestion of one of those things kept me. Here's the urban myth, right? Uh-huh. That there was spider eggs in bubble gum.
Yes.
And I was so suggestible when I was 5 or whatever it was that I am the only person I know who does not chew gum, will not chew gum. And they didn't even really happen to me. It was just something I heard about and had an imagination about and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Stand up comedy. But I have a vivid imagination and I'm going to be thinking about all of those things for a very long time.
Sorry. It was one of those things where I was like, I kind of need to burden you guys. I can't, you know.
No, right. Yeah. You need to tell people.
I'll survive.
I get it. Blair, is there a horrible thing you'd like to share? Yeah, the squares.
Boy, is there a horrible thing I'd like to share? I mean, I feel like I do that a lot, but the bubble yum thing is real. Yeah. It's not insect related and it's not poop related. When I was growing up, I had to wear a back brace for scoliosis and it was like the 80s. Like we didn't have air in New Jersey. Like we didn't have air conditioned schools, but it was like 100 degrees.
Oh my God.
And I sat in class and it was like under the back brace. It was, which went like from, which went from like here down to like my hips and all around. It's plastic. And I was so sweaty and I was sweating so much in class that they sent me home.
Oh,
and
I was
extreme. I am still extremely popular with all the people I went to junior
high. Wait, is this the brace on the outside? Is it under your clothes?
It's like it's under my clothes, but it's, you know, it's like,
but
it's like a corset, obvious. But not as tight.
No, and it goes like from the,
right,
from the neck
to your chin,
down to the hip. And it's like this really thick, heavy plastic and you can't quite stand upright. And it's really just hot. It's hot.
Doesn't breathe.
Oh my God. It's
not breathing very well.
It does not breathe.
That did always reminds breathe. Me of Romy and Michelle. Because Michelle
That is my generation. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Now, question. Were you diagnosed by your middle school gym teacher with scoliosis? Or did you know ahead of time?
I think that's where it started.
Okay.
So, the system worked.
So it did work.
Wow. That's okay. Terrible. One story. It actually, it was on purpose, guys.
For our younger listeners, I'd be curious to know, are you still being scoliosis tested by your middle school gym teacher taking you in their office and then finger up your back?
Absolutely no
way. Is that
way.
Still happening?
Someone's doing that, but they are not testing for scoliosis. No,
that's what happened to us. It's weird. I don't know why that
happened. And there's so many things There's so many diseases. Because it's not like a fast thing. Like, it took him a year and a half to even be like, you know what? We watched it. We're going to put you in a brace, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But think of all the other more important things they could have been tracking us for.
Yes.
But I don't know what happened in society that it was decided that was such a scourge.
Yes.
That they would test us all in front of each other for like years.
Wait, and I have a question too. Did the boys get tested or is it just the girls? The boys did get tested?
Yeah.
I think we were tested separately. But must have been.
Because that was traumatic for me because I remember being scoliosis tested because it was like right at the age where only like half the girls were wearing bras and I was not wearing a bra yet.
Yeah, so same,
I was just raw dog chest. And I remember I remember holding like those, remember those shitty like brown paper towels they have in the junior high bathroom?
Oh, God.
I remember holding one of those over each like flat nipple while they tested me.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, just real crazy.
Okay, well, on the other end of this, I'm getting my first mammogram in like a week. So, you know, we go from that to squishing the tit.
I'm getting my first mammogram next month.
Are you? Oh, my God.
Let me know how scary it is.
I'm scared.
I have had many, and I don't personally find them scary. I mean, I take so many x-rays and stuff growing up.
But doesn't it hurt? Mm-hmm. That's what I don't know.
Stand up for me. How boobalicious are you?
I have very big boobs.
Big boobs.
Yeah, I kind of got some boobs too. I mean, like they're not epic or whatever, but they're way above average. And there's some squish. There's some squish. Just lean into it.
All right.
You know, don't extend it. But it's also not as bad. It's once I get it.
I just
in
it's
there,
2023. Do we not have a different way to test for this,
like an or at least like it could be orb shaped or something.
Yeah.
Like, so they're
why
am in
I
like a 3D?
Why
we got a squish?
Right.
Why we got a squish?
That feels like a man. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's a man.
I am sure.
This
you
is like
correct.
The exact opposite of like more cushion for the pushin. Where in where the cushion is bad. I don't want more cushion for the squishin. I want.
I want. But it's fast. It's
okay.
Fast.
Okay. Good. Whatever. Just fucking pinch me. Ugh.
Very fast.
Get her done. Yeah.
Okay, Blair. Let's jump
let's
to
be,
another
let's
topic.
Be serious.
And talk about. I want to talk about your show, Lady ADHD,
which is fun to say.
Ooh, it is
Lady
fun.
ADHD. It's like yodeling.
Lady ADHD.
Yeah. Tell us about it. I'm really curious. I've never gotten officially tested, but I'm like 99% sure I have it. And
then you probably do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me start over. I was diagnosed for the first time maybe 20 years ago, but I was like 30 and I was kind of given nothing, no tools. Nobody believed it was real.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, here's a notebook for you to write things down in and like a box of wishes. And that's it. That's all you're going to get. And because of the way I'm Gen X, because of the way I was brought up, you know, Gen X in New Jersey, go outside and play. Don't come home till it's dark, all that stuff. Like most of the people I knew did not think it was real. And so for, I don't know, maybe close to a decade, I really didn't take it seriously either, to my own detriment. Mm-hmm. And then maybe 10 years ago, I was in a situation where I had a real doctor and things were evolving and I got some real meds and some help, et cetera. And I started to accept it more. But even then, I didn't really talk about it. I didn't ask for any kind of accommodations. I didn't ask anybody to take it seriously. Like, I knew it was a thing. I took my meds and then I just kind of kept my mouth shut about it because I just didn't want to hear any shit from anybody. Like, I believed it was real, but a lot of people out in the world did not. And then, like all great things that come to us now, during quarantine, I started, somebody had asked me to work on a one-person show. And I'm like, well, I don't want to just do like my hour stand-up. Like, that's fine. I'm happy to do an hour stand-up. But it's, if we're calling it a one-person show, I wanted to have an arc. And I have all these, stay with me on this. I have all these flip chart comedy bits. I have non-flip chart bits. I can do jokes without flip charts. However, I have some about things like the history of Super Bowl halftime show and Schoolhouse Rock and like Facebook cat group culture.
Those sound like important great flip charts.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fucking great flip charts. I'll send you a link to a private link to the video. And so I was doing these and somebody, it was like not quite like vaccinated time, early time, kind of getting just starting to inch out of COVID. And I had people on my back deck looking at stuff, and someone had brought a friend, and it was this dude, and he was perfectly fine. But he was like, why do you even do these flip charts? What do you even? And I got so frustrated, as I have since learned, emotional dysregulation, big part of ADHD, a lot of people don't talk about. And so I got pissed off. And I said something like, because this is how my brain works. And I'm just so tired of showing up to a green room with the, and no one will fucking talk to me because I have this fucking flip chart. And it's like, I'm not flip chart girl. Festival, show, yeah. Whatever the fuck you are. Like, how bad could it be?
Right.
Like, it's yeah. not, you know, it's not dick pics on there. Like, how bad could it be? Right. We're all at the same wherever the fuck thing that we're at. Like, just, and then afterwards, it usually goes pretty well. And, you know, then people aren't. I'm like, just let me, I just want to do my own fucking thing the way I do it. I just want to let my brain work the way it works. I can do a lot of great things. Some of it I don't do so well, but there's a lot of things I can do. Mm-hmm. And that angry outburst at an innocent stranger eventually led me down a path of delving in deeper and looking back at my childhood. And I'm not blaming anybody. This is the way it just was. But or the people I would blame are much up, higher up on the, you know, food chain of medicine and psychiatry and so forth. That, you know, I'm never going to be able to take it out.
Society.
On them. Society. And I look at all the things. All the things I didn't do because for so many years I masked so hard. I was trying so hard to just be perfect. Mm-hmm. I was, did not succeed. And I was, I would beat myself up about certain things. And also because it's an interest-based nervous system, I would think about all the things I was interested in. And I was always told growing up, you can't be a performer. You can't be this. You can't be that. And all the time I spent shutting down the things I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't start stand-up comedy till I was 43 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, and that is an example. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time in my first 40 whatever years not doing stuff that I wanted to do and trying to be conform. I'm trying to conform and trying to be something I wasn't. And I got really tired of that, thankfully, because I think some people never give themselves that break, especially women. And if you're a woman of color in this country, good luck getting the help or the medicine that you need. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to show the inside of my brain and how it works and where those flip chart comedy bits come from. Mm. Excuse me. And then, but also go back and say, see the patterns that I saw growing up, how I got to this place, and then the frustrations that come out. So each of those flip charts afterwards have sort of like TED Talky pieces. Mm-hmm. About they illustrate something I do well or something I don't do well or something that I experienced that wasn't good or something I experienced that was good all around this ADHD stuff. Mm-hmm. So and then. You know, practice it in my basement alone for, I don't know, a year.
Wow.
Make people watch it on Zoom. And then it's been through a few iterations, but it's been for a run at Caveat in New York City. It's been at San Francisco Sketchfest. We're touring a lot of colleges. There's a lot of accessibility and neurodivergent student associations now. So we're doing that sort of stuff, especially in the coming year. And that was a lot of words, but it was. And so I still do stand up. I still headline stand up, but this is its own thing. And it's really rewarding. It's really fun in its own way.
Could I suggest a flip chart for this presentation in the future?
You know what? That's an excellent idea.
You need a flip chart.
It's not as good when it's an audio only podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It falls down a little bit in that scenario. Yeah.
I imagine like a lot of people relate to it too, because I don't know like what the numbers are, but it feels like definitely in the last like 5 years, people are getting diagnosed.
A lot of women who are older, you know, will get diagnosed maybe when they have a kid who gets diagnosed, or they just saw it on. So I mean, social media is not the way we want to live our lives, but there are some things that good that can come of it.
Yeah,
and just the awareness of it is one of those. I've read stats that it's a about 5-ish%, we'll say, in the States of adults.
Really? Who have, it feels like so much more, but maybe it's because I know all like artists.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of...
Yeah.
Well, I think it overrepresents in certain professions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I also think, though, that a lot of people who come talk to me are like the parent of someone with ADHD, like, or the spouse, or they have someone in their life who they love, who's like struggled with it, but been great with it. Also, there's a certain amount of, and I'm not an expert, like go to a real doctor, like all of those caveats. But, one of my many professions is I was a lawyer for about 1 minute. Oh, wow. And the, like 25 years ago, it was, I like immediately quit, but the, there's an overlap, for example, with autistic and ADHD people. About 30% of either group have both, apparently. Mm. And there's a lot of different kinds of neurodivergence, like dyspraxia, dyslexia. Some people would put OCD in this group. I'm not so much trying to like label them all, but it's more that a lot of these people have things in common. Mm-hmm. Whether it's something clinical, like a symptom or a tendency. This is totally not correct, and it's horribly ill-informed, but sometimes I'm like, I see a lot of what I have in common with autistic people. I'm like, we're just louder. We're going to lead in this, you know, in this couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should all be paired together. We have different skills, but so some of it's about just being kind of dismissed because it's not visible or people don't take it seriously. They think you're not trying. They just think you're weird, whatever it is. And some of it is that they have things in common. But yeah, there's been, 5% of the United States is still, 15 million or 16, yeah. 17, 18 million people.
Right.
Everybody knows somebody.
Yeah. Well, and it also, it presents very differently in women or in young girls and young boys, too. I have an ex that had ADHD, so I've read so much and done a million, done a lot to try to like understand.
Understand.
Yeah, just like, you know, I don't take it personally. The cabinets are always open. I just don't. You can't anymore.
it's and I mean that fucking struggle is real. You really should have my husband on this podcast.
We could all the partners could definitely get that.
It's hard. And the, you know, it's just I think that's a lot of people, and I think there's a lot of people who just, a lot of people come to the show just identify with being different and being sort of a little on the outside, even if they may not seem like it. And I think that in general, that resonates with people too.
Yeah. Whether you have ADD or not, you can relate to not conforming to it. Because the box doesn't exist, so no one does.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, though, maybe you're a person who, you don't have ADHD, but you just love thinking differently, or you don't like working within certain frameworks or whatever. It's, you know, it's appealing group of people to learn about.
That's so funny because, like, when you say, like, you feel different, the thing to me is that I always just thought that this was how everyone operated, sort of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I never understood that it is different. Like,
that people can say, I'm going to do the thing, and then they just do it, or they don't need.
Yeah,
a running
I just figured that everyone had
stuff.
Had struggles with all this stuff. So it's funny,
right?
Like, being like, what? Like, my doctor will say this to a few of us, have the same doctor, and like talking to her about it, she's like, oh, yeah, you artists. Like, she's just like, oh, yeah, you guys got it.
Yeah, it's I'm sure they're big part of the population in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For 100%.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard because it's like, I have aphantasia, which I had a lot of the same thing. I just assumed everyone's brain works the same way in like memory in that case.
Right.
But it's like, it's an interesting thing to just realize, oh, we're all so much more different than we would even know. You know, it's like, you can't assume that like your
way
of
you
processing.
Just think your reality might be similar to somebody's, but it's not at all.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just,
It's, I guess, sort of a tragedy that we don't use that to find empathy with other people. We all just like make assumptions about other people based on.
Yeah.
I like to think that over the last few years, I've gotten better. I try harder because there's a lot I've learned about associated neurodivergence or whatever that I don't fucking know. There's so much about ADHD I didn't know 4 or 5 years ago that explained a lot. Like, oh, I kind of have a short fuse for no reason. Sometimes I get really frustrated for no reason. Why is there you go.
It's
I'm not just an asshole.
It's PMS. No matter what, no matter when. That's for me.
Yeah. But you're right about women presenting differently. It certainly girls, you know, I've heard different things about this, but the inattentive ADHD, because there's different types, and most, I'm going to use the most generic, like boys, like boys, would they often identify as hyperactive, and girl presenting would be inattentive. And I am not like it's only, I do daydream and swirl in my head, but I'm also very like rambunctious and chatty, and you know, I didn't punch walls and shit. Yeah. I'm not like a bro. But I can't decide if it's like a chemical difference or if it's like how we socialize girls to not talk, don't be a problem, sit in the corner.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's that totally makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah. Right. So then you've got like that cocktail of like the ADD plus.
Right. And you're like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to put, I mean, I don't know. It's like a little theory of mine, but it's like, oh, and so then it becomes just the way you are after how many decades, but then like all that inactivity is concentrated more in your head, and daydreaming, although that's not exactly the perfect word for it, versus the boys who are allowed to get out some of that energy and just be, you know, open. Assholes or whatever.
Just spin like a top in the corner, and then a girl's just staring at
a like
window.
A top.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. We have to take a break and solve all of this stuff. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Blair.
And it's time for That's So Random.
Hey, Blinken's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I didn't make it up.
Oh, my God. I can't. It's just like, that's so random.
So random.
So freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So random.
Not raving.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
My God.
Random.
Okay, so if you can't tell the name of the game.
What is it?
Is
chess.
Yes, chess. We're going to play chess.
Is chess. The name of the game
perfect.
Is chess.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Which I cannot play because I'm a sore loser and it's so sad.
Oh my God, I know. I had the thought the other day of like, I want to get good at chess. And then I was like, bitch, you do not have time to get good at chess. You get that thought out of your mind right now.
Okay. Those are very ADHD qualities. I'm not saying it's ADHD. I'm just saying that's like, I have thought of a new incredibly large project that I'm going to devote my life to for a week and a half.
Yes.
I'm going to ignore my own hygiene.
Be all in for a week and a half.
So I'm going to swim in an ocean of shit. And
we have two. We have two VR headsets now because Adam got like a new one. So I'm using his old one. And we have played chess in the same room on VR headsets.
Oh my
God. That's like,
wait, so instead of just having a $15 chess board?
Instead of just playing on a chess, well, because it's really cool. The settings and everything are really cool.
Oh, I bet.
And he wanted to show me it. And I'm like, all right.
That is cool.
It is. Yeah. But it's just like, I'm like, oh, God, this is also very depressing. Whatever. Okay. Blair, do you have a treasured piece of clothing you are not willing to give up?
Ooh. You see this black turtleneck?
Yes. Steve Jobs.
I have 10 of these black turtlenecks.
Oh, are you? You do this because I kind of want to be this person.
I have other things, but like especially when I'm just working from home or doing whatever, I have like stretchy pants that are black. Mm-hmm. And in the colder months, I have this turtleneck that's black, and then I have a short sleeve thing. For in the warmer months.
Is it black?
It is black. I'm from New Jersey in the 70s, so we're only allowed to wear black.
And, extremely Gen X of you. I love it.
Yes.
Very do I have a pair?
I have a pair of I have a pair of really high brown suede boots that I will not, like the, you know, the high leg, not high heel,
yeah,
that I will not give up. They have this really thick sole and they're really comfortable, but they look like I'm fucking doing something when I put on the black turtleneck and the black stretch pants.
Yes.
And I've taken them to a shoe repair place just this week because I'm unwilling to let them go.
Yes.
So he's going to try to clean them, but they're jacked up. But we're
oh,
see
so
what
you're so, but that's the only problem with them. They're just like, they're just, you've worn them too much, or what's wrong with them?
Yes, I've worn them a lot. I am not
get another
careful
pair
with them. They, there's like,
see, that's
visible
better than like
dirt.
I them thought you were going to say like they, I hold on to them even though I never wear them. So I think you're in a good place.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, yeah. I have, I mean, I have every size of jean I've ever been. One, yeah. One example.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few bins of clothes where it's like, I don't know.
You can shop like it's Target. Just find your size.
Right, exactly.
That's good to hear about the turtleneck, because I actually decided this year for Christmas from my mom, I asked for like, because we like to go shopping every year, and I was like, Mom, instead of like shopping, I just want one nice black turtleneck.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I asked for, and that's what I'm getting, and I'm very excited.
That's
there
a good
you go.
Call.
Very nice.
Great that's staple.
But
everyone needs
I will
that
say this. I'm very excited about it. I know it's going to make me really happy. Mm. I am cognizant of like being a blonde woman and the Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes, it's giving Elizabeth Holmes a little bit.
A little just, bit.
I think, you know, as long as you don't wear it every day, you're okay.
I think, like me, I think the self-awareness is will make it okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so I think as long as you're
pony,
not tricking
right
people.
I think so.
Okay. Ponytail. Okay. When you yeah wear the turtleneck. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think as long as you're not, yeah, committing fraud based on taking people's blood, then I think you'll
right
be okay.
Do you have a lot of contacts in the, you know, in Silicon Valley / biochemistry world?
I neither have contacts in Silicon Valley, nor can I be within 15 feet of a needle or blood. So
okay.
Yeah.
So it's unlikely.
It's okay, highly good unlikely. But speaking of Elizabeth Holmes, I don't know if you guys saw this gossip or what, but did you guys see that Jen Shah and Elizabeth Holmes are besties in jail? And Jen
oh
Shah has been acting as Elizabeth Holmes' personal trainer.
I'm going to tell you guys something, and it's probably going to derail the rest of this podcast.
Please. Oh, my God.
I just
oh God
a guess. I don't know who Jen Shah is.
Oh, that's okay. Oh,
I don't either. Okay. It's okay. Yeah.
She was a housewife who is in jail for fraud.
Okay.
She's a Salt Lake housewife, so that's the only one I've ever watched.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's all.
And,
I see.
Gotcha.
Got
yeah,
it.
She's they're wild besties. And she got like, they came for her like on the show. Like, the
it's wow, one of the best episodes. If you only can watch one episode of Housewives in your life, watch the
they're
episode where
they're about
shocked
to go on a road trip and like in like a limo. And then everyone's like, what's going on? There's like police here. And it's wonderful.
It's the producers
it's like,
don't
I
know
don't
what's going on. Like, it's truly one of the most riveting episodes of television I've ever seen.
I don't watch Housewives for the same reason I have never tried cocaine and said I am sure I would instantly fucking love it and it would become a real problem. So yeah.
That's totally fair.
I gave up very early New York original Housewives after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does many, take many over your life because much like an addiction, you will never run out of the drug.
But that's it. Right.
That's yeah the problem. Yeah. There's yeah no there's no limit.
No.
Infinite.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever suck dick for housewives in an alley?
Some of them may have.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, Blair, question. What yep are you currently worried about?
Oh, my God. You mean
how
the
random
like,
is
big
this
or little? Here's I'm going to tell you something. I mean, the way I was trained to have my brain, like, to make up for my, we won't call them deficiencies, differences in my brain. I trained myself before they had, or before they gave me like drugs that worked and stuff, to have a running list at all times of things that I think have to happen right away, because that sense of urgency will like keep me from forgetting it. So I'm constantly worried about everything. Mm-hmm. Here's two things. We adopted a third cat 2 months ago. He's, you know, older. He's like 7, orange,
aww,
sweet. Our orange sweetie had passed away day after Christmas last year. And this cat's mom was elderly and passed away. And he was in the shelter in Miserable. So we adopted him to go with our 2 younger cats, Sookie and Hank. This cat's named George. We did not change his name because I'm not a fucking monster. He's seven years old.
George is a great name.
It's a great cat name.
George, that's great.
Yes, it's exactly.
Perfect.
And I worry about George and his adjusting because the other cats are like 15, 16 months old and they're very rambunctious and they are like blood siblings and they fuck with each other anyway. And, you know, it's not like they're just the sweetest all the time to each other. But George was like alone with an old lady. And I think he's like nervous all the time. I wonder where he is all the time. I tell the other cats out loud to be nice to George. I say, Sookie, don't you see how you and George are the same? I spend a lot of time home alone talking to myself, the cats, and my husband about George and how do we think George is doing. That is something I worry about all day long.
How's it going? Like, do you feel like
it's not like a nightmare? It's not like we're gonna get on a reality show about like fucked up cats or whatever. But they're fine. It's just that like they're like. They're like fucking ninjas, the little ones. They're like running up a wall and they're over each other and they're rah, rah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, he walks by and they fuck with his tail. And so.
What does he do when they fuck with him?
He's starting to stand up himself a little bit. Like he'll just do a whoo-hoo.
Yeah.
But usually he just kind of leaves and finds he does a little corner kind of shit and like goes off into like, he's got a couple of little hidey holes. We don't really know where they all are. And so he kind of like, but I don't want him to feel like he can't. I worry about him. This is my very specific thing. I want him to feel like he can have times where he can have peace. Right. And so that he's not always on edge. Am I projecting? Maybe. But he's not always on edge about the other cats, like sleeping in like, he likes to go under the blanket and Hank thinks that's a game.
Right.
And like
fucks
with him while he's under the blanket. I want him to have just be able to lay. And he sometimes has that. Mm-hmm. And he sleeps by my head. Sookie's a little jealous. It's all, there's plenty of love. It's teaching the cats that the pie grows. You know, everybody gets.
Right. Put him in just like a separate room for a little bit.
We did in the beginning, but he's the full house. He's not like, how can I explain this? Like, he is annoyed and he's like, I just want to really. It's kind of like if a teenager came to my house today and just started following me around the house, playing like shitty drums or like talking about chairs, like slapping me upside the head.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I just want to watch House Hunters. Yeah. Like, I just, in peace. Mm-hmm. And so I think
you mean Mouse Hunters. Thank you.
Well, yes, in his scenario. And so it's more like there's plenty of rooms in this house because when you move to Baltimore, you can get a bigger house. Yeah. And so there's plenty of rooms for all of them to be. And he does get left alone much of the time. But I doesn't mean I don't. I want them to snuggle.
Yeah.
I want them to snuggle.
They'll get there. I believe.
I mean, okay, I have direct experience with this.
I believe you.
My older cat is not as old. But he was here first. Archie, he's orange too.
That is a great name, and that's appropriate with the comic and the stuff.
He was. And then we brought in, you know, a younger cat, and we were nervous and blah blah blah. They love each other now. They do fight too much sometimes, and we do separate them. Like if they're like going too nuts, I'll put them in a different room because I'm like, it's just not worth it right now, you know?
Right.
But they cuddle and they clean each other and it's the best shit in the world.
Now the thing is, George is older and he was not here first. You know what I'm saying?
Tough. Yeah, yeah. That's their territory.
But also they don't fight like, they don't do the cuddle, but they don't fight like that because George is like over it. George is not,
He's not giving anything back.
He's not like, he just is going to move away. He's going to leave the situation. Avoidant or whatever.
I love
him.
He's
a flight. He's a flight, not a fight.
We're going to need a picture of these cats, by the way, so everyone can see them.
Oh, yes. I think I could rummage up one or two.
Why can't we stop taking pictures of our pets? Like,
I know.
It's the same picture.
My Instagram story. I know. Every time the cats lay on me, I'm like, well, this needs to be documented.
I know.
Every time.
I know.
Every time.
It's my whole home. I bought extra storage on the cloud so I can store the same picture of my dog.
Can I I think there might be a depressing reason. The depressing reason is we feel like if we capture enough of their video and the things and the stuff that when and if we lose them, that we will be able to sort of, you know, still have them
still and access.
And I, having lost our two original cats over the last year, who were like 15 and they had a great life, but still, and there's some of that. It is. I am glad I have a lot of video, but it's not like I sit there looking at it all day long.
No, I don't look at anything in my phone. It's just, it's all like,
it's like we really are trying to steal their soul. Like the old wives' tale.
Yeah.
They're definitely trying to steal mine. So fuck it.
Yeah. That's a mean deal.
Oh, well, that part's true. No, they are.
Why do you think there's so many cats in Rome?
Yeah.
Ancient place.
Yeah,
there you go.
Think about mystery it, mystery solved.
Okay, we gotta take another break. We'll be back with Lady Problems.
BRB.
Hey everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Blair.
And it's that time of the show, Lady Problems. If you have one, send it to us on email at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or call us 323-6-BUT-30. Save that shit in your phone.
Lady Problems. Lady Problems, do you have them? Lady Problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hey ladies, I need help coming up with a way to change my mentality about a bad take that I have. I just learned from my sister that she is pregnant, and although I'm very happy with her and generally excited to be an aunt, I still have this sense of sadness and almost grief associated with it because I feel like she and I haven't really had a chance to be adult sisters together yet. And I feel like by her being pregnant, we're missing out on all of these things I wanted to do with her that, sure, maybe we can do in the future, but it's going to be years before she has the ability to be an adult again that can think about things other than her kid. And I'm just having a really hard time seeing how the upsides of this outweigh the downsides. I know you all are aunts, and I would love to hear your take on it, on how I can change my mentality and be truly excited without having this sense of dread accompanying it. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I mean, to me, the most exciting thing is, welcome to Aunt Land.
Yeah,
it's the best.
Amazing.
Pretty
I mean, I all think, like, the good, none of the bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get to do all the fun things. And I think also, obviously, like you said, you know, maybe you're I don't know what exactly you think you're going to be missing out on, you know, with your sister as far as like being adult sisters together. But I think that you're going to get the best of both worlds because you're going to be able to spend adult time with your sister and spend time with her child, which feels like your kid again a lot. You know what I mean? Like it can bring that kid out of you. And I think you'll be able to share special moments with her that maybe are, you know, something like you had when you were children or keep traditions you had together as kids, stuff like that. That will be like really special to share.
Yeah. I honestly think you're going to see her more than you would because it sounds like this person is in their very early 20s, maybe mid 20s, and maybe they just got out of college and they think this shit is going to stay like this. They don't realize how radically different it's going to be when people, you know, get certain jobs or move away or whatever, or, you know, marry someone you hate or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And there's always a reason. Sometimes more than you'd like, as a fun aunt myself, like there's always some fucking thing to go to get invited to. You're probably going to see her more than if she didn't have a child, because that child is always going to be a reason. There's the first this, that, and the other thing, and birthday parties and all that stuff. Yeah. I think
I totally agree. And I also, like, I think when you yourself don't have kids, because it is terrifying, and that's probably why we don't have kids, but mm-hmm. when you yourself don't have kids,
ditto.
Like, I think that I actually have been like amazed and like astonished by like my mom friends, like how quickly mm-hmm. actually like they will get back out there. Like, I think that like you might be sort of over exaggerating in your mind, like how disconnected your sister is going to be. Cause I have like so many friends that like a couple months after having a kid are like, let's get a fucking drink. I need to go to the movies.
Cause they
like,
want, yeah, they need
they need to get the
yeah.
fuck out.
Yeah.
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 yeah. So she will
she's
need,
gonna
yeah.
need some adult time and want some adult time. And like, I think, it's going to be, I think it's going to be more normal than you think it is.
Yeah. Yes. You might not be able to go on like a 2-week, like Euro backpacking trip as like adult, or if like that, like I'm trying to think, like that feels the kind of stuff that you're like, oh, we're not going to get to do because she has like yeah. priorities and stuff. But it's like, yeah, there's lots of things you guys can do. And, you know,
and you might surprise yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
About what you find else to do. I mean, I have no human children. And by the way, I just described my anxiety over my cat. Sounds like a good choice that I made. But the,
yeah.
But the, you know, I don't know. I found more, there are things that I got to explore that were not like things I would have done with my friends. I don't have sisters. I have brothers, but you know, I wasn't going to do in that context. I was going to have to do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And so there was also, yeah, things are going to change, but you might get some, find something for yourself that you aren't even, you have, would have no idea of what it is yet. Mm-hmm. But because you have a different relationship and you're on sort of a path a little bit more by yourself, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and like, what I think is really fun is like whenever I go places or on vacations and stuff now too, it's like, I have fun little nieces to shop for. Like it's always
yes.
It's really fun to be like, oh, I can buy these like weird little books, or I can look at the kids stuff now.
Right.
<You know>? Yes.
Like it makes it kind of fun as an aunt to have like somebody outside of yourself to be buying for that is like exciting and fun, and you get to show people something for the first time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like you can get them like dumb shit that their parents aren't gonna get them. It's like, yeah, bitch, you have Uggs because I have a disposable income.
Yeah, that's right.
You really have.
You are welcome.
It's an incredible place to be in someone's life. You know, you get to bring you get to bring them like, you know, cool, like weird things that you like movies or music, or, you know, I think you get to influence them in a different way than their parents do. I think it's just I think you're going to be gaining a lot more than you will be like losing.
Yeah, there's very
especially
few
if you guys are close.
To being an aunt, if any, actually, I don't think there's any.
Really, truly,
yeah.
And you get to be like a little subversive with a human being. You just mm-hmm. try to, you know, like yes. counter program their parents just a little.
Yeah.
Now, we have a different relationship than she. I might have a different relationship than she has with her sister. But like, you know, it's kind of fun to
exactly.
be like. You gotta let them know you're there.
Remember, like, when I made flower crowns with my nieces, we went to the grocery store with my mom and we dropped like $75 on flowers. And they were like, Dad would never do this. I'm like, exactly. Let's go to Starbucks.
Remember me when I'm old. I'm going to need somebody to execute my work when I'm 85.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, congratulations. It'll be great. Honestly, you're going to love it. It's great.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, try not to treat it like this, like date that you're worried about coming up on. It's like, be excited for the baby shower. Like she doesn't have kids yet. Like what is stuff that you guys can do now? You know, like, are there overnights that like you guys can go, like any short, like small things you guys can go do now beforehand? And that's not like a time of mourning. It's like, this is the life that your sister wants to lead, you know? And it's celebrating that she is a different person than you. And like those differences are like a great way to learn about somebody else.
That's so true. And like, it's like your sister has made this choice for herself. Yeah. So like, it's also like a matter of like kind of respecting what your sister wants. She's an adult. She is acting like an adult by deciding to have this kid. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And also I think like, again, I think sounds like they're younger, or, you know, at least the sister's younger, you know, people have like, when they have kids younger, especially like, you guys are going to be able to like experience, you know, getting, being middle, becoming middle-aged together, like maybe when her kids are older, and you're going to have an incredible time. You know what I mean? So like, you also have that to look forward to when she has less maybe going on with her kids then and more time to spend with you guys. And like, you know, speaking from experience, like growing older with your female friends is fucking incredible. So I feel like you also like are going to have a lot of that time with her as well.
That's so true. I know, like, I think about it, like my mom had me when she was 22. So when she was 40, she was done with me.
That's amazing. Think about that. Think about that.
And I have friends who are like 40 that are just starting.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Wow. That is wild.
So like that 18 years, I think probably does go fast. And like, yes, so that's so true. You are going to have like more time at the other end of it.
Yeah. And like so many cool things along the way. It's exciting.
Yeah. Send us a picture of your, no, don't do, you don't have to do that.
if you have a cat or a dog, send us a picture.
Yeah. Honestly, also, I don't know if this is like, if your parents are like really excited to have like a grandkid of some kind, but guess what? Now the pressure's off. You never need to hear shit again.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah.
She took one part, for a team.
Yeah, that part's
Welcome
great.
To the
Thank
life
you,
of
sis.
Being an afterthought.
Just yes. Afterthought. It's great. Thank you, sis, for taking that away, for biting that bullet. I'm good.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. I'm excited for you. And, you know, big change is really hard. You know, it's weird. It's hard. Mm-hmm. But this is like what life is really about. And I think the older I get, the more I realize that this is like the stuff that's real, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
See that.
Yeah. Get some like big glasses. Make like an aunt
yes,
choice.
Yes, big sunglasses. You need big sunglasses.
Leopard print.
I mean, I'm not wearing them right now, but
ooh,
yes.
Those are some fun aunt glasses.
You got some Baltimore Hun glasses.
It really does right. Let you just lean into your weird. Just lean into your weirdness.
Lean right in.
Exactly.
You want them to remember you. Make it
exactly.
Do make have, bold choices.
Yes. Do you have a caftan yet? Go get, pick one up.
Yeah. And you want to be the favorite. And favorite doesn't always mean being the one who's around the most.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't need to mean that at all. Yeah.
Leave
in fact, it might be the
more.
Opposite. If you're like second mom, you may not be the favorite aunt or uncle.
And I'll say this about little kids. I mean, I think it's until they're like 5 or 6. You can like, it's almost like the less expensive the thing you give them, the more excited. Like you can give them a sticker and they're fucking stoked.
I was
like,
gonna say stickers, number one. Stickers.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy to shower them in gifts without breaking the bank. And they're going to think you're like, just like the richest person. They're going to think you're making it rain. You bring that kid a couple bouncy balls and stickers, squishy things. Kids love squishy things these days.
Yeah.
So it's also going to be a really great way for you guys to like talk about your childhoods that you had together, because she's gonna be like, I think every time people have like kids, it kind of like they're like, oh, this is what my parents did, this is how this is triggering something in me in some weird way. So it's also like it might open up conversations that you guys like never would have had otherwise too, so you're gonna get closer in different ways too.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm excited for you.
God, makes me want to be an aunt again. Come on. Brother and sister. All right, let's do one more.
All right.
Hi, ladies. Love you all. Quick question. What are we doing for cheap Christmas presents this year? Everything is so expensive. Everyone's feeling the pinch. And I still want to give presents. You know, like I know that not giving presents is an option, but I really would like to give some, you know, presents. I'm open to handmade. I'm open to other things. But really, I was just wondering, are there any creative ideas that the three of you have for this? Okay, thanks. Happy holidays. Bye.
Happy holidays. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's feeling that this year. Everything's so fucking expensive, you know, but it's like we want to enjoy the holiday season. I am leaning more lately towards less stuff, so I am trying to like implement that a little bit present wise but of course I'm still gonna fucking give some stuff, you know. I saw one thing on TikTok I liked, which was someone went to a thrift store and found two like really nice vintage glasses and then paired that with like a bottle of the person's favorite, you know.
I was gonna say my husband's in resale, like he it's just him, and he's and doing it for decades, and he's an expert. And so it's also funny if you get a theme, but we often will go and find, like, one year he found cookie jars that reminded him of like the different people in our family, or, you know, different like or mugs or glasses or cookie trays or something. There's a lot of really nice stuff that you could also keep and resell for a nice profit. But that's on my list, Babs.
That's great.
Yeah. And I think like 1 year I gave like, you know, you guys got some, I got everybody like just
different
vintage glasses that I found. Mm-hmm. And those were online for not that much because there's so many of them. Like they, you know, you can really find like decently priced ones too.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of like, resale stuff. Ooh, wait, Blair, have you guys been to Ellicott City yet and gone antiquing there yet? Okay, cool.
That is too exciting. He sells things he finds to those people.
Okay, right? Gotcha.
But they're in the retail store. Like he's on the ground.
Hell yeah. Ooh, there's so much good shit in Baltimore. Rules.
I did have my uncle every, because we have a huge family, and my uncle will give like every single person in our family a little gift every year. And like he's such a good gift giver. And so, and it's always like something thoughtful and not crazy. And like what he got us a couple of years ago that I think all of us use is just like, it's like the stand that you can put your iPhone on.
Yep.
So that like when you're FaceTiming or like using it for a recipe, it's just like a little nice stand. I don't know. It's very practical. I've seen them in like all of my family members' houses. Everyone's still using theirs.
That's a good idea.
Gift I gave, because like I gave to a few people a few years ago. If you live in a weed state or have weed friends, I got these little weed hot chocolates that were like $5 a pop.
Mm.
And like Christmassy, cheap. Weed, chocolate,
everything.
Boom, bang, bang, boom.
I think bring back, if you want to do something handmade, I feel like the jar thing is great. The hot chocolate recipe jar, the soup ingredients jar. I saw one for like a Christmas potpourri jar, like, you know, cranberries, cinnamon, whatever.
Yeah. Cookies. Like, anything baked.
Cookies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like do a big batch of those. That never goes out of style.
Yeah, you did like... hot cocoa bombs a couple years ago, right, Babs?
Oh, yeah. Those were great. Really fun.
I love a theme gift, but also I like experiences. I'm always trying to get my family, like, can we all go in on one group gift to get everyone the one thing but, you know, tickets can be expensive to stuff, but if you can find something that's not, you know, a Broadway show or like, you know, the Taylor Swift concert or whatever, something more like, even like, movie theater, but also buy them a popcorn. You know what I mean? Something that, or a restaurant that you know you like, and you're not just giving them a gift card, like a Visa gift card. You are specifically getting them the thing to go to that restaurant or whatever. I like that idea.
Yeah, definitely. Or like be like, hey, we're going to use this together or something. Like, because it's like, you know, being like, this is an experience with this, like just the two of us or like whatever it is. I'm a big fan of that. And like, there might be some like, there might be some holiday stuff happening in like your area. It's like out here, but there's like Descanso Gardens is kind of fun. There was like a night, like be like, hey, on like the night after Christmas, like I'm gonna bring a bunch of hot chocolate in the car and we're just gonna go drive around and look at Christmas lights or something. Like that's a gift and a fun memory or something like that.
If your family is sporty, 1 year we went to a minor league hockey game, which is like super cheap. That's fun as fuck.
Oh, that's
minor
fun.
League games are always a blast.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, tickets are always fun too. And there's like always, if you live in, you know, a decent city, or there's probably something that like they like that they're not even thinking about to look for, you know. I get my parents stuff like that a lot.
Another thing that I give girlfriends sometimes is like, what's a little product you've discovered this year that you love? Like a chapstick or like a, you know, a little thing that you found at Target or Sephora that's like simple but that you use a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to shout out. This is, I think, a really great gift. It's Alley-Oop. It's, you know, those old clickable pens that we had and like that had different colors.
Yeah.
It's that, but for makeup. It's amazing. It has an eyeliner, a lip thing, a highlighter in one thing. And so it's like a perfect gift.
Alley-Oop. Writing
Alley-Oop.
It down.
Shouting out.
Gift.
Sponsor us.
Yeah.
They're great. I think I bought it on sale for $17. I think they're like $20 or $25 or something, but they're really good. Like, that's all you need as a gift, and it's like awesome. And I think like if you have a group of friends, you know, my friends from back home, we do an exchange every year, so it's like we don't all get each other thing. We pick one person, which I think is really helpful because it's just like so much. You know, everyone can't get everyone a fucking thing. So I think if you have a group of friends you do gifts with, maybe talk to them about that, because everyone. Also, remember, everyone is feeling the pinch. So like, if there are a few people who you're like, you know what, maybe between us, like maybe let's forgo it this year and go to a nice dinner together or whatever the fuck, but like, let's just not worry about it this year. I think you can also do that with some people who, you know, or maybe like,
I'm going to tell you something that I don't get into with people. It's not a big deal, but, for at least 12 years, maybe more than that. So my, my husband's been sober for, it's coming up 11 years. There's relevant to point. And like, there was a point at which the shit went down.
Yeah.
And we were like, broke. And we didn't give each other Christmas presents. We don't give each other physical presents anymore. We go out to dinner. We might go to a show. We plan stuff to do. It's often right around Christmas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a really expensive dinner. We might go see, like we have ever, if I'm visiting my family, we might ever go to a matinee of a Broadway show or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we don't. And it's, to me, it's more fun to me.
I think that's fun. I mean, yeah, like my love language one, I don't know. I feel like I have a few because I like all of them.
I always say mine are all of them. Yeah.
But I do like gifting. So I give shit to my husband.
Yes.
And I think he likes gifting too, but it does feel kind of silly because I do this like dance where I'm like, I put the money into my, because I have like my own account and then we have our joint one. So I'll like put the money. I like have to like hide these purchases where it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like little things like silly. And he always finds something resale for me, so I'll get something silly and little, but like I'm not anti-gift, just I'm saying it's you to like Babs's point talking about going out instead of there's you can love someone and not give them a physical like gift.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay.
I don't know. I think most statistics on Instagram are probably bullshit, but I did see one that was like 70% of people like don't want to exchange gifts this year. And who knows?
I think
that's
pretty up there.
Yeah. So like also, yes, truly the people in your life that you think you can have that conversation with, I think an exchange is an awesome idea or or let's go out. Who doesn't want to go out to a nice dinner?
Totally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that'll probably cost more anyway.
Yeah.
It will.
Another thought to throw out there. I love like printed physical photos.
Yes.
Go find some cool like resale frames and print out like a memory or something that the two of you guys have together and like give that to somebody. Like that's cheap. That's easy.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I love like a physical picture of stuff like that. And then, hey, they'll see you every day.
And this is basic as fuck, and I don't know if everyone feels this way, but I fucking love candles. I can never have enough. It's not boring to me.
Never a bad idea.
Want a candle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can make candles too if you want to do a craft. Candles is an easy craft to make. There's a lot of like I've seen like a lot of videos that are like, and you can go to like a thrift store and buy a bunch of like cool weird jars to make them in too. Like that's like a fun different thing, you know, that you could do if you want to incorporate some of that stuff.
I saw one idea on the list that I liked that was like. Wooden, you know, spoons and stuff, kitchen stuff, but then you paint like the handle of it, you know, to personalize it, which I think is really cute because that's kind of stuff that I don't really buy for myself. Like I have the same fucking wooden spoon for a million years.
Yeah.
Right. But you could paint it, you know, if you know like a certain color that they like in their kitchen or something like that. Yeah. And that's like an easy thing that I think people actually do use and you can like find pretty cheap.
That is a good idea.
I like
so
that.
You got it. I mean, you'll figure it out. But I do think it's going to be interesting. Like as shit gets more expensive, just like everyone's like, okay, this is not sustainable. Like, sorry if you want, we can't buy all the shit because you're making the cost of living too insane.
It's good though because it's forcing us to like find other ways to connect, and it's showing that the connection is the important thing. You know.
Yeah.
So that's the thought that counts is like always been true.
Totally. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Totally.
I still want jewelry, Sean. Thank you.
Cameo. Is there a cheap Cameo you can get somebody?
Oh, that's a fun idea.
That's always a fun.
Cameos are a fun.
Perhaps from one of our hosts here today.
We'll totally do that.
Send us.
Done it before.
69.69.
Yeah.
We have done a Cameo. and happy holidays to everybody. This is coming out like right before Christmas, so
Okay.
Hope you're feeling cozy and festive.
Yeah.
And Blair, thank you for hanging out with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was so much fun. I had a great time.
Hell yeah.
You're awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you online and find your, you know, upcoming days of the show and all that.
Sure. My website is ADHDcomedy.com. It's got both Lady ADHD and regular stand-up shows. And my TikTok is also ADHD Comedy. My Instagram is Postman Comedy. And I left X/Twitter 5 or 6 years ago because of my anger problem. So I haven't been there for a long time. And, you know, it's very easy to get me all of those places. But we have a lot of shows coming up in Richmond and North Carolina and Utah and New York and all over in the coming months. So I hope to see some of you out there.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right,
thanks,
guys.
Everybody.
Well, enjoy your holidays and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. Just listening to the latest episode, and I had to say, I'm so sorry, Brandy. Google failed you on this one. They are not called paper fortune tellers. They are called cootie catchers. I'm sure in some way that's probably problematic these days, but that's what we call them. And I had cell phones in school, but we still passed notes because it was way easier to get away with. But yeah, love you. Keep it up, ladies. Mwah.
Tess, I have a solution for your getting into Legos as an adult problem because, yeah, you don't want Legos all over your house. But what I have done is gotten seasonal Legos so you get a fun Halloween set and then cute Christmas sets, and then you just take them apart and rebuild them, and you're doing it once a year, so it still feels like fun and new, and then you're decorating for the holiday at the same time. And they're fucking great to do when you're stoned because you feel like you're, I don't know, defusing a bomb or something. It's great. Anyway, highly recommend.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.